Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The title of the message, The Resurrection of Jesus Christ. My, we heard a good message this morning, Dr. Barbara brought in the sunrise service. We want to continue that theme as we think about this glorious day that we're celebrating. And we ought to celebrate it, amen? Celebrate it. The day of the resurrection, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, listen to this, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. And here's the key verse, verse 6. Watch me, if you will. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. See the empty tomb is what he is saying. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is of vital importance to us today. It is the important place, the most important place in all of Christianity, in all of our religion. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity would be a joke. It would be just another religion in the package of all religions. But thank God, Christianity holds a unique place. Why is that? Because Christianity is the only religion that is based on the resurrection of our founder. Amen. The only religion. In fact, you can sum up all the rest of the religions by simply saying they're all religions of how can I do what I can do to get whatever it is they call heaven. And most of it isn't anything like what we would know is the biblical heaven, even in their theories. But we are unique. We're different. We're Christians. And the reason is we believe that our founder, our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, conquered death, hell, and the grave. And thank God he arose. He came out of the grave. A unique place. Our founder. Muhammad is still in his grave. And all other religious leaders are still in their grave. They're all there, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is fundamental to Christianity. Without it, you remove it, we don't have anything. You remove it, we don't have any hope. The choir was singing about the hope still being alive. It's not alive if we don't have a resurrected Savior. But thank God we have one who rose from the grave. Dr. Barber articulated this morning so many different things from 1 Corinthians that would be true if Christ were not risen. And there's sad things when you think of all of those things. All of our preaching, all of our teaching, all of our witnessing, all of our giving, all of our serving, everything in our lives, his whole ministry, my whole ministry, would be absolutely in vain if Christ had not risen. But thank God he did the tomb. That's why the church got established so quickly. Well, I know it was God's sovereign plan and God's work, but the church got established because they had a risen Savior. All of the other mythical characters, whether it's Zeus or Aphrodite or whomever it may be, they've all been concocted over a period of time evolving that they've come up with some kind of religious figures, but not the church and not Christianity. You know why? Because they knew they had a risen Savior. And the church started out on the day of Pentecost, already existing, empowered on that day, not only by the power of the Holy Spirit, but by the power of the truth, that they had a leader who had come out of the grave, that had come out of the tomb. The tomb was empty. And Jesus Christ staked his deity on his resurrection as proof as to who he really was. The resurrection is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. It is the cornerstone of everything that I believe and that you as a believer, as a Christian, believe today. Now, what was the nature of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? May I say to you and remind you that Jesus literally, actually died. I mean, really died. There are all kinds of theories out there. One of them, and I've mentioned this probably in the past, is the swoon theory. And there are some who really teach this. Some agnostics and infidels and atheists and liberal theologians who would say that Jesus Christ had worked out a deal with some of the soldiers and some of the people. And because he had worked out a deal, they knew how far to go with what they were doing just before he really died and he was to come off the cross. And they were to take him and put him in the tomb. And in that weak state, when he went in the tomb, because of the coolness of the tomb, and because of finally the spices that were brought, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come out of that swoon, that deep, faint sleep situation, and he would arise, or at least appear to arise, and fool everybody and make everybody think that he really died and he came out of the grave. Well, that, of course, as you would recognize, is a bunch of baloney. It's total contradiction to what is logic and what is proof and what is historically accurate about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not weak when he came out of the tomb. He was alive and well and full of total power as God who arose. He wasn't some weak person who had been in a faint or a swoon for that period of time and came out like a newborn calf or a newborn baby. No, Jesus was with all of his strength and all of his power. We know that his side was pierced and blood and water came out. The serum had already formed because Jesus Christ was crucified. He literally, actually died on the old rugged cross. The testimony of the centurion who was his enemy. The centurion answered to Pilate, and Pilate said, Joseph of Arimathea wants his body. But I want to know something, centurion. Was he really dead? And the centurion, the Roman centurion, not a Christian, at that time anyway, the Roman centurion said yes to Pilate. He was dead. He was definitely dead on the cross. No question about the fact that he died. Joseph of Arimathea, he did not ask for a body that was weak and swooning. He asked for a dead body so that he could go bury the dead body. It was a body that was dead. The women brought their spices. Why? Not for somebody who had swooned, but they brought their spices because they knew that Jesus was dead. And that was typical of what they would do when someone had died. And the soldiers pronounced Jesus Christ dead. He died, folks. He really did. It's a reality. It's a fact. Jesus died. Now, I know Jesus had raised other people from the dead, but he was the first fruits of this kind. Because he raised them from the dead, they still had to die again. But never again Jesus. He's the first fruit. He came out of the tomb alive and well, and he came as a resurrected Savior. Christ's body was actually raised from the dead. It was not some spiritual resurrection, as some would say. It was not the result of disciples hallucinating and the women hallucinating. It was the body, the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they went to the tomb was empty. The linen cloths were lying there because when Jesus got up, he didn't disturb them. He put them right back where they were. So that would be proof of his resurrection and proof that nobody came in and stole the body of Jesus Christ. That wouldn't be a very good theory anyway. Because certainly the Romans wouldn't want to steal his body because they would fall right into the trap of what they were already saying, his disciples, that they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly had the others stolen them, I guarantee you the Roman government would have found his body and known that. And it wasn't that case at all with the Lord Jesus Christ and his post-resurrection appearances appeared in a body, a real body, not a spirit, not a hallucination. They thought when he came and showed up that he was a spirit. He said, I'm not a spirit. Touch me. Feel me. I'm not a spirit. I'm in a resurrected body. He said, Thomas, you go ahead. I understand you're doubting, but I want you to touch my nail-scarred hands and the place in my side and my feet so that you'll know that it is I. It's Christ. It's the same body that you saw on the cross that was being crucified. It's me, Thomas. It's me. And Jesus Christ ate, and Jesus Christ drank. And the Lord Jesus Christ was in a resurrected human body, a real body with no limitations, a body that was immortal, a body that will never die again. And by the way, we're going to have one just like it, an immortal body, a body that will never die. We may, I hope we can hang on to the rapture, amen. But if not, we're all going to die. But one of these days, we're going to get a body different from this body, a body like Christ, a body that is immortal. And we thank God for the fact that Corinthians speaks so well about the reality of that. No limitations, immortal. And so the resurrection of Christ is important. And the nature of his body and his resurrection is important. What about the results of the resurrection? Well, it had to do with Christ himself. Christ arose, amen. But what about Jesus himself, the results of the resurrection involving Christ? The Bible says he was declared through the resurrection to be the Son of God. He said he was God. Was he? Anybody can say they're God. Anybody can say they're the Messiah. Anybody can claim they're Jesus. But I tell you what, if they die and they're buried and they come out of the tomb, then they have a right to claim that they are the Son of Almighty God. The empty tomb was a testimony to his deity. His claim of having authority. The empty tomb gave him the right to the claim to have authority, that he did have it, and that it came true. He proved that by the resurrection of his literal body. What about the believer? The Lord Jesus Christ, as to himself, proved all of that, but to the believer, it tells us something too today. I'm glad it has a message for us, aren't you? A great message, and it tells us that the believer is going to be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ if we'll ask him to save us. There's proof positive. It assures the believer that God will accept him. Here, Romans 4:24, listen to the word of God. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that is, righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. We are declared to be able to be savable because we believe that God raised up Jesus from the dead. As long as he was in the grave, no assurance. As long as he was in the grave, no hope, no joy, none of that. As long as he was in the tomb, no proof that God accepted his sacrifice and his propitiation for us. He's taking our place and paying the price that God the Father demanded, God in all of his holiness. No proof as long as he was in the grave. But thank God he arose. That's proof to us that God accepted Jesus' sacrificial work for us. It assures us that we have a high priest. I'm glad I have a high priest today, and his headquarters are not in Rome. Amen. The Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I have a high priest today at the right hand of the Father who is interceding on my behalf. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank God he's doing his intercessory work. I promise you I need some intercessory work. And by the looks of you, I'd say you do too. We all need some intercessory work. Amen. But thank God that means our failures won't condemn us. Our failures are not final. Why? Because we have a high priest, an intercessor. And we can kneel and ask God to forgive us and say, God, I blew it royally. I'm sorry. name our sin, Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us on our behalf, and we will receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ as believers. Thank God we have that absolute assurance that Christ is interceding for us. And by the way, the Father always honors the intercessory work of His beloved Son, the one that He raised from the grave. It assures us of resurrection and immortality. I'm glad for that. I'd hate to be like so many people in so many religions and not know what's out in the future. Not know what's going to happen to me. And not know where my loved ones have gone before me. Thank God it assures us of the resurrection and immortality. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. How many of you believe that? Say amen real loud. Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died, who are saved, who went to sleep in Jesus, will God bring with Him. You see, because He arose, we know He's going to come back someday. I read a lot of the things that are going on in the world. I just am reading a book called Epicenter that someone recommended to me, and it's talking about all of the things that are going on, written primarily by a man who is a saved Jew, but quite involved in secular work as far as his occupation, but realizing what Ezekiel 37:38 says. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you today, I don't believe it's going to be very long until we see the church raptured, taken out of here, and we see Russia. And Russia, don't ever think they're out of the picture. And Iran and those nations that are their cohorts, they're going to try to go out there and wipe out the Jews. And Ahmadinejad in Iran right now today would like to wipe them out if he could. Someday they'll try it. I'm just simply throwing you a little tidbit in there to tell you that the coming of the Lord, I believe, is near. But whenever it happens, we don't have to get worried about all of this. Whenever it happens, we know this. It's going to happen, and He's going to catch His bride and take us up to be with Him. The question is, are you a part of the bride? Are you ready? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I am assured of the resurrection. I, like Dr. Barbidge said this morning, many times have had the services of some of the most precious saints of our church and the churches that I've pastored. Gone to the cemetery and put them in the grave and put them in the ground, watched them as they lowered their casket. Kitty Hibbs, one of our former members, just passed away. Pray for her daughter and that family during this time. They're going to bring her back here to bury her. I'll be doing the service. But you know what? When I go out there to the graveside and they put that casket in the ground, I know Kitty Hibbs is going to come out of there someday. Why? Because Christ arose. And because we have the promise of the resurrection and immortality, and she's going to live forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, so am I. And you too, if you're saved, amen. In heaven. I wish I had time to back up all the arguments and to try to give you more proof as to why we know Christ truly was the Son of God. But we take it by faith, we take it by the Word of God, that Jesus lived on this earth, that He was perfect, that He became our substitute, that He died in our place, that He was buried, that He arose, and thank God, He's coming again. Jesus arose bodily and visibly, and that's how He's going to come back. The second coming of Christ for you was not when you got saved. The second coming of Christ was not the day of Pentecost. The second coming of Christ is when He comes first for us, and then later He comes with us. But the Bible says that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Why that? Why didn't He just stay down here? Why did He go to the right hand of the Father? Well, one reason was that He is our interceder. But another reason, the Bible says that He is our forerunner. Listen to Hebrews 6:20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered. Who is that? Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning and who had no ending, Jesus Christ, a priest, the one who is the forerunner. Now, what is a forerunner? The forerunner is one who goes where the rest are going to follow. Jesus is my forerunner today. Hallelujah. He's already gone to be at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to follow Him. Someday I'm going to be there too. Because He arose. He is my forerunner. And He went to prepare a place for His people. Jesus has been busy. I don't know how He does it. I don't know how He's done it. But He's preparing not a little cabin over in the corner in Glory Land. He's preparing a mansion for me and for you. And there are a lot of different theories about what all that means, but I can tell you it's great, it's good. I just accept what the Bible says. It's going to be a mansion. And it's going to be in heaven. And it's going to be forever. And He's already gone there. And He's prepared a place for His people, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is there doing that, waiting for one thing, and that is His universal domain. One of these days, all of the people who spit upon Him, beat Him, made fun of Him, all of the agnostics and the atheists and the infidels, all of the present crop of doubters who really try to explain away the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, He's going to return in all of His power, and He's going to show them, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Son of God. It's going to happen. Acts 3:20-21. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That's going to happen one of these days, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. We shouldn't be surprised. He's been telling us ever since the book of Genesis that it's going to happen. Jesus is going to come again. He is coming back. And I can say to you, if you're part of the bride, you'll be caught up to be with Him. You say, preacher, how do you become part of the bride? You have to be born again. No other way. You've got to be born again. There must be a time and a place in your life where you understand, I'm a sinner. If I die like this, I'm going to hell. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became my substitute, my sacrifice, my propitiation, the one who satisfied God, and He paid all of my sin debt, and thank God, past, present, and future. Amen. And when you realize that, and you're willing to believe it, and the part of the gospel, Paul says, is the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and whosoever believes that Jesus died for them, was buried, and arose, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What could be so simple, folks, is understanding you're lost, like all of us have been, and that Jesus died for you, paid your debt, and all you have to do is believe and receive. Believe and receive. Repent, turn, be willing to turn from to Jesus Christ and be born again. And that can happen today. I can't think of a better day for people to be saved than Easter Sunday morning. Sometimes Easter has a tendency to be a little stiff and a little formal, but it doesn't need to be that way. All you've got to do is in the invitation, step to the aisle nearest you, come up here and say, hey, I want that. I want immortality in heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to spend my eternity with Jesus Christ. And my friend, doesn't matter how old you are, if you've come to the age of accountability, if you die lost like that, how many little children, 13, 14, 16, 17, this week, been on the news all week, went out into eternity? I'm telling you, you need to receive Christ now. Let's stand, please, while our heads are bowed. My hope is still alive. How about yours? It's still alive because Christ is alive. Father, I thank You so much for the Word of God. Thank You for the vivid and logical and biblical proofs that Your Son lived, that He died, that He was buried, and the greatest and most important thing, that He came out of the grave to prove that You accepted His sacrifice for sinners, to prove that He was in fact the very Son of God, God the Son, and many other things. Lord, there's some people here today I believe, who are unsaved, and I pray they would come and be saved this morning. There are some Christians who are not living in resurrection power. Oh, they believe in the cross and that Jesus died for them, but they're compromising. They're not taking a stand. They're not living in resurrection power. They're not living in victory. I pray that you'd help them today to do something about that, to understand that that's part of the benefit that we have through a raised Savior. We've been crucified with Christ, yet we don't live, but Christ lives in us. May we gain the victory over that. Bless those who need to come, make a public profession, or for baptism, or just to pray and praise you and thank you for the resurrection of Christ, in whose name we pray.